to TTM Cast, the podcast for TTM autograph collectors, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion, and by thetrovesportsden.com. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros online. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. It is Sunday, August 9th, and we have a really fun show for you today. This is Season 2, Episode 29. Really informative interview with Jimmy Spence from JSA Authentication, and really had a great interview talking about getting autographs authenticated. So hopefully you'll enjoy our interview. And also we caught up with former Major League pitcher Jerry Spradlin, and we talk about some things that are happening with Jerry. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. If you have any feedback or any questions, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, the email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. My email address, ttmcast@yahoo.com. Getting my head ahead of myself today. Really excited about all the things we have to talk about. So, my podcast is available anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple and Podbean and iTunes and Stitcher. And if you have an Alexa device, all you have to do is say, Alexa, play TTM Cast Podcast, and you can hear this episode or any of our previous episodes. Also, I have a forum on Sports Card Forum, so please check that out. And now let's get right on to Baker's Dozen, which is our first segment. Always kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby for the past week. Our next episode will be next Sunday, August 16th, and I had I interviewed two people, so it's really a kind of interesting interview that we had, and I'm going to leave it to be a surprise, but it's really a fun interview, so hopefully you tune in next week for our next episode, which will be August 16th. Yesterday was Topps National Baseball Card Day. Hopefully you visited a local card store, picked up some cards, and picked up your free cards as part of Topps National Baseball Card Day. I want to make sure you check out Sports Collectors Daily. I have another article there this week. I did an article on the 1958 Topps All-Star Subset, so please check that out. Read my article on Sports Collectors Daily. Last, like to announce our raffle winners. We're giving away two hats, TTM Cast hot hats this week, and the winners for our raffle are Andrew W. from Ohio and Carlos Chuck R. from Washington. So Andrew and Carlos, or Chuck, congratulations. I'll be mailing out your hats this week. So thank you for entering. And I was very surprised with how many entries we received. So thank you. Thank you for submitting an entry to our raffle. And our next segment, I had the privilege of catching up with a former guest, former Major League pitcher Jerry Spradlin. So we wanted to kind of see what Jerry's up to, and hopefully you enjoy our interview. Here is Jerry Spradlin, former Major League pitcher.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline, kind of playing with catch up, is former Major League pitcher Jerry Spradlin. Jerry has a great thing going on. He's trying to earn some money for a former teammate that's kind of down on his luck. And we want to talk about the raffle that Jerry has going on. So welcome back to the program, Jerry.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
You're welcome, Matt. You know, I know that the raffle's been going on for a couple weeks now, and we're going to pick the winner on September 5th or thereabouts. You know, how's it going? Are you surprised how many people are interested in spending the day with you?
Well, you know, yeah, it's going all right. I mean, obviously, I think we're going to actually raise the stakes a little bit. And this is, don't quote me on this because it's not official yet. So I don't, you're kind of, but talking with Adam, to kind of boost it a little bit. And there's a little bit of a discrepancy, which we changed, because I know when people go to view it, like I put in my post that I'm going to treat the whoever wins to a day, you know, like as far as, you know, whatever activities we end up agreeing upon and stuff. But in the original website, it says that it wasn't included, but it actually is. So I had to make that change so people kind of know that, you know, this is at no cost to them, which is a good thing. And because I want them to feel like, you know, you get a big leaguer treating a rookie, you know, like, hey, rookies don't pay for nothing. So, you know, it that was kind of our experiences, you know, as players growing up, coming up in the league. And I want the fans to be able to get that same experience. And between you and Adam and I, and it's not official, so I'm just going to say this may happen, but Rajay Davis may be in on this as well.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess he approached Adam about it, that he wanted to kind of get involved with it. So so it might be the two of us. I don't know.
Well, that would be really cool. So, guys, you know, we've talked about it a couple times on the podcast. Really, the money is going out to help one of Jerry's former teammates who's kind of down on his luck. And for $10, you get 10 tickets. And what you win is a day with Jerry and maybe even a day, wink, wink, with Roger Davis, where they're going to treat you guys like whoever wins, like a big leaguer, and, you know, maybe take you out for golf or take you bowl and take you out for dinner, kind of make you king of the town for the day.
And,
there's all sorts of other stuff that you can win as part of this raffle. Jerry, why don't you outline some of the stuff people win just for entering?
For entering, they get a free month into the Trove Sports Den, which is something I thought would be a nice little touch. And then as well as they're getting an autographed card from me. And then I know there's some other secondary prizes and different things, like, you know, it might be a video or audio chat for, you know, half hour or whatever. And there's a bunch of those in there. So, you know, we wanted to make it a little bit more involved where more people could win something versus just one person. I was trying to figure out how can I add something to the pot, you know, to make this even a little more exciting. And that's when Rajay kind of approached Adam. So I was like, oh, well, that would do it.
Yeah, that's really cool. We hope that comes to fruition. Why don't you let people know how they can enter?
Well, yeah, it's super simple. Depending on if you see it on Facebook or not, through me or Adam, or just go to the Trove Sports Den, and it's the TroveSportsDen.com, and then you can look up a day with Jerry under one of the categories. He's got them all kind of listed, and then you just click on that, and it'll say how many, you know, entries do you want. Do you want the $10 one, or do you want the $25 for $20, or do you want the $75 for $50? And you can enter as often as you want. So I know there's some people that are actually entering every week, according to Adam, because that's what he told me.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
it's a great prize, and it's a great cause. I know you're helping out a former teammate that's down on his luck. It's one of the things that's nice about you get as an athlete to help out fellow people. I know a lot of athletes are involved in charities and helping out people, and I think that's one of the nice things about that you have at your disposal.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of came up, and I'm actually, you know, depending on how much money's raised, you know, there's another
friend of mine who is kind of involved in this as well, whose wife has cancer, and they're, you know, trying to get money for treatments. So it's, you know, a lot of this is to go on to, like I said, depending on how much we raise, if the most, the more we raise, the better, the more we can help both people. And that, you know, that's the goal, is because, you know, I know those treatments get kind of pricey, and, you know, if there's something I can do to help them, then that's what I want to do. So that's kind of why I came up with this. And, you know, it all stemmed because of what, like with my, the one ball player who's kind of going through some of the stuff that he's dealing with. I had kind of gone through it, and don't wish it upon anyone. It's, you know, I don't want to see him have to deal with that like I did. And it's, you know, definitely something bad that happened, and it's very wrong, and it will, you know.
Yeah, no, it's very commendable. Guys, if you want to spend a day and be treated like a major leaguer and spend a day with the major leaguer, Jerry's a great guy. I've talked to him a number of times now. Roger Davis, I haven't met him personally, but I've heard great things about him. So hopefully that comes to fruition, that Roger does join it. But with Jerry's been a workout, so that he comes to you and spends the day with you in your hometown, and takes you golfing or maybe bowling, or takes you out for dinner, takes you for breakfast, takes you around. Maybe we'll even have a game going on by then. You can go watch a game with him. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be this year with all the COVID stuff. We're going to pick the winner on or about September 5th, I believe. Right, Jerry?
Yeah, somewhere around there. And also, too, one of the things that I want people to realize, it's, you know, like if the person's, you know, like if it's their married couple, or whatever, the spouse is welcome to come along. But, you know, if it gets into rounds of golf and people start inviting their friends, you know, the friends are going to have to pay. It's just,
yeah. Now leave the wife at home.
Well, you never know.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. You got people that got kids, you know, they may want, like for me, it's like, do they want to do a, you know, a pitching lesson or something with their son, or, you know, like that, if they pitch, you know, like that stuff. You know, I'll definitely throw in there one, and that's what we can decide when we ever announce, when we announce the winner in, you know, in September. So,
all right, guys, go to the Trove Sports Den. Please find a day with Jerry. Go buy raffle tickets. They're basically a dollar piece, or even cheaper. You can get 10 for 10 bucks. There's a $20 level and there's a $50 level. You know, you can buy as many tickets as you want. So really, the prize is your prize. So you're gonna help dictate and make it a great day. Jerry and whoever else is involved will be there. And you know, if you have a kid that's in Little League, or a younger kid that plays high school baseball, this might be a nice prize that you can share with them. So please go to the Trove Sports Den and register. We'll promote it on the website, and hopefully we'll maybe even actually bring Jerry and the winner onto the show and talk about what you guys are going to do once we pick a winner. But Jerry, I want to thank you very much for promoting this, and I think it's a great cause. Is there anything else you want to mention before I let you go today?
No, I think we covered everything, other than maybe, you know, like if you happen to see, you know, my post on Facebook or Adam Fierce's post, you can click on the picture and it'll take you there as well. So
outstanding. We'll make it as easy as possible. I have a link on my webpage as well, if you want to click on it to enter the raffle. So again, Jerry, nice catching up with you, and I'm sure we'll be in touch in a couple weeks.
All right, appreciate it, Jeff.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for our Vern Rapp Minute. Our Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away prior to me sending out a TTM autograph request. And I do this as a service to my fellow TTMers to let them know who has passed in the world of sports and celebrity so they aren't embarrassed by sending out a TTM request to somebody who that is no longer with us. So in the world of celebrity, we lost a couple of veteran actors. Renny Santoni, who played Poppy on Seinfeld. He was 81. And character actor Wilford Brimley, who was on the star of Cocoon and Quaker Oats ads. He was 85. And in the world of baseball, we lost Mr. Horace Clark, who played for the Yankees from 1965 to 1974. And he actually finished up his career with the Padres. He played, I don't know, 40 or so games with the Padres in his final season. Mr. Clark was 81. And that's thankfully all the people that we've lost this week. Our condolences go out to their family, and we are sorry for your loss.
This week's TTM returns are brought to you by Sports Card Forum. Find players' addresses, see who's signing, and more, all for free. SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
And now it's time to review returns for the week. We've had a few good returns. I got a couple of returns for my 1978 top set. I got Dave Heaverlo from the San Francisco Giants, nice black Sharpie, and Henry Cruz sent to his home in Puerto Rico for 1978 set, and he signed it with black Sharpie as well. And both of those, Heaverlo took about a month. Henry Cruz took a couple weeks. I got Luis Melendez, who was an outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. He signed it a nice blue Sharpie and a 1973 Topps card, and that took about a week to return. I got two cards back from Spike Owen, who was a shortstop for the Boston Red Sox, and he signed his 88 and 87 Topps card, and he signed that in nice black Sharpie, and that took maybe about 3 or 4 months. So Spike, I saw, is getting caught up on his returns, and it was great to get a return from a former Red Sox. I got a couple football cards back. I got Bill Bates from the Dallas Cowboys on a 1985 Topps card. I got Todd Blackledge from the Kansas City Chiefs on a 1985 Topps card, and those both took less than 2 weeks. And then lastly, I got William Andrews, who was a running back for the Atlanta Falcons on a 1985 and 1986 card, and both of those are in blue Sharpie, and he actually added his number, and those took less than 2 weeks. So happy to get some cool returns this week. I've got a few more out. I have not sent any out in the past week, but we have hopefully we'll get some more returns. So I'm very happy with the returns, and it's nice to see people are still signing despite the corona pandemic that we have been dealing with. And now on to our interview segment. This week we interviewed Jimmy Spence from JSA Authentication, and we talk about card authentication. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by the Trove Sports Den. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros from past and present online. Visit thetrovesportsden.com and join in the fun today.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline is Jimmy Spence. Jimmy is owner of James Spence Authentications, and he's joining us today to talk about authentications. Welcome to the program, James. Jimmy, I'm sorry.
Yep, for inviting me.
You're welcome. You know, I know autograph collecting is in your blood. Were you a TTMer back in the day, or were you mostly in person collecting?
Yes, very much so. In fact, I got my start really through my grandfather, who was one of the biggest autograph collectors back in the 1940s. and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But yes, that's how I got my start. He taught me how to write through the mail. I did do in person as well as a kid, but the majority was through the mail. When so many of the ball players would write back. I mean, you could write virtually to anybody. Tom Seaver, would send me. I would send him 10 baseball cards to get signed and get them all signed back, and they're all authentic. And there were some people that were, issues. You never got anything from Carl Yastrzemski or Mike Schmidt, but there were an incredible amount of good signers through the mail that later became Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, I started collecting back in the probably late 70s, early 80s when I was a kid, and I started writing, and I got a ton of guys, Stan Musial and Mickey Mantle and all these guys that would just sign no problem. But nowadays, you'd say it's a different story.
Absolutely. Yeah, but nevertheless, it makes it interesting, and people get more clever on how to do it. And, as long as I think you're proper and decent with the people, even the people that do sign to this day, you don't want to overload them with requests because they are inundated, and you should be respectful of that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. Your owner and operator of James Spence Authentication, everyone knows it as JSA in the hobby. You're at numerous card shows, and you have two locations, one in Florida and one in New Jersey. Have you seen a decrease in terms of people's submission because of the pandemic, or how's things been going for you?
Actually, that's been incredible. The amount of store, we have our two offices. We've been flooded with boxes and boxes of items to get authenticated. We're also through the mail, through the offices. UPS is in here twice a day, FedEx, the same thing, and the post office. We're just swamped with work. In fact, we're actually looking to hire at this point. There's just so much work to be done. The one thing that we did notice, though, that everybody has noticed, is the fact that there are no shows, at least throughout this year.
Sure.
I don't know if they'll get the national convention off the ground, but that's iffy, and that's the one big thing that we missed, from a financial standpoint, because we were in probably 6 to 7 different cities every weekend, and now we're still doing some store appearances. Some are, getting clever and putting it outside in a tent, and the big conventions we missed. I mean, that was a big stream of revenue. But nevertheless, we're holding our own and we're doing well. And, it's unfortunate there's so many other businesses that, can't really, change it up like we've been able to.
Now, is there an art to authenticating an autograph or without giving away any trade secrets, is there an art to authenticating an autograph?
I think one of the big things that most people don't realize is if you don't have a tremendous exemplar file, which are specimens of autographs, you really can't properly authenticate autographs. JSA's exemplar file is over 1 million examples. They're all in chronological and field order. But we need that for comparison, because it's not just about knowing Mickey Mantle or Ted Williams or Michael Jordan's autograph. It's about knowing all the minutiae that surrounds it. If you get a team signed baseball, you've got to know every signature on the ball, or know who the bat boys were, or the trainers, and we take pride in all that we're able to identify virtually anything, and there's no limit to it. I mean, we authenticate things from back in the time of Queen Isabella in the 1400s all the way to present day, and we authenticate everyone from Mother Teresa to Saddam Hussein, their autographs. So we're it's a wide span. You have to have tremendous knowledge, and many of the people that have worked for me for many years, we're very eclectic. Sometimes one person knows something better than the other, but it would be very difficult for a single person to you know, maintain some type of an autograph authentication business, because it would be just too much to learn and just too much to process.
Now, when someone wants to submit something for authentication, is there a form that gets filled out, and do you ask where the autograph was obtained? Do you skew it more towards, in terms of passing it, if it's an in-person, than if it's a TTM?
No, I mean, people do. They do when they submit their items. A lot of times, it's accompanied by provenance, whether or not they say they got it in person, they got it from their, you know, dead uncle, it was handed down to them. Some people say they bought it on eBay. But, you know, we can only take what they say with a grain of salt, because unfortunately there's a lot of people that aren't truthful about how they receive something. We've, you know, on a weekly basis, we catch people in lies. So we only, you know, we'll take that information in, but it's not like we're relying upon that. We have to make our own objective judgment on an autograph. And fortunately, we do it by committee. So not one person is determining the fate of an autograph. If something gets a letter here, many sets of eyes have looked at it, whether it be electronically from the images that we've taken. We take high-resolution images, and people give their independent scores on our staff. And based on the scores, something passes, fails, or we go inconclusive. So to get back to what you're saying, it's all well and fine if you want to, you know, write up a little story about how you got it. But, you know, again, we're going to be looking at it from a much more objective standpoint.
Now, you don't do just sports, right? You're involved with basically historical figures, political, music, celebrity as well.
Everything. I mean, when I first started JSA in 2005, May 1st, in fact, so we've been in business for 15 years, we pretty much concentrated on sports, but then it evolved. And we have so many consultants around the country that know autographs really, really well. There are specific fields that we tap into their resources. These consultants, some of them, you know, may do vintage Hollywood for us. We have one guy that the only autograph he ever authenticates for us is Walt Disney. So there's guys that, you know, they might just do Muhammad Ali for us. And we don't use one person's opinion. It's that of the entire committee, all the authenticators. We have full-time, probably about 6 full-time authenticators, and part-time another 5 or 6, and then a lot of support people that have various degrees of interest and knowledge. So it's kind of all over the place.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
I was going to ask you, how long is it, I have a couple cards that I want to get authenticated, and I send it in to you guys through the mail. How long does that process usually take?
We say there's a 2 to 3 week turnaround, but if you were to submit, say, Mickey Mantle baseball, there's a good chance that within 3 days it's going to be turned around. If you're going to submit, you know, 100 items, yes, it's probably going to take us every bit of that 2-3 weeks to turn it around because of the size of the order. There's some things that we consider a little bit more difficult that take us more time to do, and that's not Mantle, Williams, DiMaggio, the things that we see on a regular basis. If you send us an oddball item where research is needed and we have to gather together exemplars and strengthen that specific file, yes, that's going to take a little bit more time. But for the most part, I would say it's within that range of 3 days to 3 weeks.
That's pretty good. Now, I know you have a fee-based structure, and can you just kind of outline that? I know it's kind of out of the blue and a little open-ended question, but, just a typical submission for someone that's listening that is a TTM collector, has 5 cards he wants to get authenticated for whatever reason. What would that entail?
Okay, it's super easy to submit to us. In fact, if you go onto our website, spenceloa.com, there's a place where it says submitting my item. You can download PDF, a form, and just name, address, you know, that kind of information, signatures, payment, you know, write down what you're submitting in and send it in to us. Make sure it gets insured, and then allow for, you know, shipping insurance on the way back if you're coming into the offices. races, either in Fort Lauderdale or Parsippany, we're able to, you know, turn things around sometimes in the same day. So just by filling out the form, which is a pretty simple form, that gets you started. And thereafter, you're going to either receive, depending on which service you choose, or which one is dictated, either a basic cert, which is for items valued under $200, full letters, anything over $200 in our eyes. If it fails, you get a rejection letter. It's the same price, same cost, because it takes us probably more time to reject something to actually pass it. But we give reasons why it failed. And in rare cases, there are inconclusive letters where we've beat it up so much and we can't come to a resolution. There might be various scores and we can't come together. And sometimes we have powwows on these items to try and determine. And then if we can't see a clear way to either passing or failing it, it will get an inconclusive.
And what's the basic fee for something that's under valued $200 just for basic certification?
Say $20 and $30 for basic certification, and that's the ones that are valued under $200. Above that, they pretty much start at $35. And let's say if you had, you know, a team signed ball, of the 61 Yankees, it might be $300 for you to get it authenticated. So there are items that might be more expensive than that, but usually that range is between $20 and $300 in terms of authentication, unless you have a very, very special item that would require it to, you know, us to have a greater fee than that.
But we're speaking with Jimmy Spence. Jimmy is the owner of James Spence Authentication, which is JSA, everyone knows. You can go to his website at SpenceLOA.com. He is actually on there on Facebook at JSALOA. They are on Instagram at JSALOA and on Twitter at JSALOA. So there's many ways to reach out to Jimmy and find out if you have something you're looking to get authenticated. There's plenty of places on the internet to go reach out to get going. Jimmy, is there athletes that you kind of red list in terms of people that either are prone to be forged or have ghost signers? Is that something that you're always, you know, you have a red flag so that if you see something from Shaquille O'Neal and you know he's got a ghost signer TTM, is that something you guys keep?
Well, I'll give you an example. You know, if somebody sends us in a Tiger Woods or a Michael Jordan, the incidence of it failing is very great. I mean, probably less than 10% of the ones that are submitted into us actually pass. They're heavily, heavily forged. Mantle, Williams, and DiMaggio, probably half of the ones that are submitted fail. But that doesn't mean that all of the ones that are out there, it's only half of them that are good. There might be even a higher percentage that would even fail because a lot of the ones we don't see. I mean, if you were to just look around on eBay, or if we look around on eBay, we could see just how much garbage is up on there. And that's why it's very important to get a trusted third-party authenticator for the autographs, not just for your own good feeling, but, you know, if you want to turn around and sell this, our letters of authenticity will make the items marketable. Any major auction house accepts our authentications as being valid. So, you know, it turns it, you get that out of the equation when you're trying to sell or trade the item. You know, it puts it on a nice even playing field when you have that provenance, that certification from us. We don't buy or sell autographs, so we have no interest in or any conflict of interest when it comes to telling you whether something's good or bad. So we're basically a referee in the wild west, you know, just of.
Yep.
so many bad autographs, and some of them are malicious, you know, guys that are, you know, down their basement forging autographs, and some of them are non-malicious, but they're still no good. And when I referred to that, especially through the mail, you get secretarial auto pen, facsimile stamps, you know, wives signing for their husbands. There's even laser printing onto baseballs, and there's, you know, they're finding new ways because of technology getting much, much better. And, you know, we have to keep on top of that. Our files, we don't keep just valid autographs in our files. We take note of all of those that I just mentioned so that we're able to make comparisons and do overlaps and make sure that, you know, what a person's putting in their collection or what they're selling is valid. We've grown. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the history of how I got involved in this whole thing, but, you know, I started PSA DNA in 1999. Prior to that, I was authenticating for most of the auction houses throughout the land. So I've been at this for quite some time, and I've taught, you know, just about everybody out there, the guys that, you know, that authenticate for my competitor, Beckett. You know, three of those guys worked for me at one time. So this is kind of where it all started. I'm very proud of the existence of, you know, of those companies too, because I know they're pretty much on the same page as me. And, you know, but fortunately, I think we're the biggest and the best, and that's, that's shown just by how many auction houses use us. We authenticate for more auction houses than everybody combined.
Do you keep a tally of, what athletes or celebrities autographs you've authenticated in terms of, you know, I was wondering, like, who are the hot people that have you guys been authenticating in the last year or so? Is there been an influx on anybody that surprised you?
Well, sometimes it's cyclical. Sometimes a death brings upon a tremendous amount of submissions, such as Kobe Bryant. You know, we had a steady flow of him prior, but as soon as, you know, he died, that usually, whenever there's tragedy, you know, a sudden tragedy, especially when it comes to you know, a man of his age or younger, we get a tremendous, that happened with Michael Jackson years ago, you know, when he passed away. And then, of course, you get the ones that are expected, you know, somebody like Neil Armstrong, you know, who's in his 80s, he passed away. We got a tremendous amount of submissions from him, but, you know, his popularity was so strong that that drove that. But things can be cyclical. I remember Anna Nicole Smith used to be a big submission of ours, and it's not so much anymore.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it depends on what's hot. It works that way in the card market. You know, if a guy's really hot and he's banging the ball real well, everybody wants to collect his card. But then all of a sudden, you know, you wake up one day and you're Albert Bell. And, you know, how many of those do we get in, you know?
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yep. Now, you have, can you just give a couple stories of some cool things that may have come through the office, something, you know, something that had the office buzzing? They're like, oh, you're not going to believe what we got in today.
Well, people used to ask me that. I mean, almost every interview I've ever had, people say, what's the coolest thing you've ever authenticated? And I always go to the coolest thing probably was a Bill Veeck prosthetic leg that he had signed. Yeah, I always thought that was cool. It probably sold in a master auction for about $10,000, and I always regret not buying that. I just always thought that was a really cool item. It's certainly not the most expensive item. You know, there was a ledger book that sold at the Barry Halter auction, the live Sotheby's auction, and that sold for over $100,000. And today, it probably would sell for a heck of a lot more than that. It was $1,894. The whole National League, everybody's signatures. Some collector back then had the foresight, even in the infancy of baseball, to get everyone to sign. And then there's some that are one-of-a-kind autographs. So in my estimation, that was a really, really cool item that sold. I mean, it's not the most expensive, that I've ever authenticated. Jackie Robinson's 1947 contract is, you know, in the millions of dollars. That's probably the most expensive one that's out there. $1.5 million for a signed Babe Ruth bat from 1923. You know, that carries the provenance of him hitting, you know, a home run in a World Series in, you know, Yankee Stadium. But I can stay with, and yet you caught me at a good time, because less than 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, the most amazing thing I laid my eyes on, which, you know, became very, very emotional for me. I mentioned earlier that my grandfather had got me started in this. And unfortunately, when he passed away in 1978, my step-grandmother took the whole collection, and within 2 years of his death, sold the whole thing to, you know, the local antique dealer out in Commack, Long Island. And, you know, I'd never seen it since. Well, 2 weeks ago, I went into Robert Edwards Auction. They're a very nice auction house in Chester, New Jersey, which is 5 miles from my home. And I went in there and I authenticated their auction. At the end of the auction, their general manager said, "I want to show you something." And he came in with two boxes, and I started flipping through it, and I kept seeing my name. And my grandfather's name was James Spence, and on every piece it was "to James Spence." And this was my grandfather's collection in its entirety.
Wow.
And what I didn't see at that moment is there were 4 or 5 more boxes that he hadn't brought into the room. I had to contain myself, and what happened is, the short of it is, I was able to make a private offer on it before it went up for auction. The consigner, whom I don't know to this day, consented to the sale of it, and now I own my entire grandfather's collection, which is probably over 1,000 pieces. They're all on covers, like philatelic covers, where it's postmarked, and the names are a who's who of anybody that was famous between 1942 and 1945. There's a video on my website, if anybody would like to see it. It's of what I found on the Babe Ruth autograph. There's just 3 Johnny Weissmullers. There's, cartoonists that were popular at the day. There's Chick Young, who did Blondie. There's all the 48 governors at the time in 1940s. There's Harry Truman signed 2 items just shortly before he dropped the atom bomb. It's just an incredible collection. I still haven't gone through it all because I'm so darn busy at work, but it really and truly is the most amazing thing I've seen. And a lot of that, you know, comes because it's from my family. But it's back home now, and it will stay in my family's possession, hopefully for a very long time.
Well, congratulations. That must have just taken your breath away when you saw that.
Yeah, take time to see the video that my son Ryan Spence created for it. It's a short video, and there's going to be a larger one to follow. But nevertheless, it was done live and was unrehearsed, and you'll see just how excited I really am.
That's very cool. I will check it out. Guys, if you want to check out the video that Jimmy's talking about, you can go to his website, which is SpenceLOA.com, SpenceLOA.com. Jimmy Spencer, JSA Authentication is also on Facebook. They are JSALOA on Facebook. They are on Instagram at JSALOA, and they're on Twitter at JSALOA. Jimmy, you know, we're wrapping up. I know you're busy, and just kind of one more thing about kind of your personal collection. Do you have anyone that you really like to get their autograph that you don't have?
Well, I personally collect. My two big collections are, I collect autograph trading cards all prior to 1974. I've been doing that since I was a kid, so I have a very large collection of that. But I also have my most valuable part of my collection are canceled checks. I probably have the largest canceled check collection in the world. 15 presidents shy of having all the presidents.
Wow.
I probably have maybe 175 to 200 of the baseball Hall of Famers. I've got many of the football Hall of Famers on cancel checks. I collect all front signed, but it's really a who's who of everybody. I've got, you know, Charles Darwin and Al Capone and Harry Houdini, and the names go on and on and on, and I've always enjoyed collecting them. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a collector. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people that get into this hobby, they start to stop collecting because, you know, they want to make money and, you know, that keeps them from doing that. But I've always collected all the way along, and, you know, I built myself up a nice collection, and I still love getting items, you know, into it. It's the fun is still there for me.
Yeah, it's really cool. I just started collecting the 1958 Topps All-Star cards. I got the whole 21 set, but now I have 10 of them signed. So that's what I'm working on now.
Wonderful. That's something I've collected over the years. I think I had the whole set myself. But it's still fun to collect. If you stop collecting when you're a dealer or even an authenticator or whatever, I don't know. You might as well be selling women's shoes, you know, because you're going to lose the thrill at some point. Of the hunt, and that's the great part of collecting is hunting for something. You know, there's things that I buy in auction, or people that bring things to my attention, and I get a kick out of getting something that's worth $20 and something that's worth $20,000.
Yeah, it's a really fun hobby. Well, Jimmy, thank you for spending some time with me today. It was educational in terms of me learning about authentication. I haven't really been big into the authentication, but I certainly, it's something that I need to get a little more involved in, if you know what I mean.
Please, anything I can do to help you, I'd be happy to. And I thank you for this opportunity for me to share, you know, some of my experiences with you and your listening public.
All right, thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Bye now.
Okay, bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. I want to please remind you to go check out my article on sportscollectorsdaily.com. It's a cool article on the 1958 Topps All-Star card subset. So please check it out. I think it's a fun article. I want to thank Mr. Jerry Spradlin for joining us. Please go enter the raffle for a day with Jerry at the TroveSportsDen.com. I'd like to thank Mr. Jimmy Spence for joining us today from JSA Authentication. Having a tough time with that one today. JSA Authentication. So Mr. Spence, thank you for joining us. Our next show will be next Sunday, August 16th. If you have any feedback or questions, comments you'd like to send me, or just even would like to be a guest on a future program, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, the email address, as always, is ttmcast@yahoo.com. I want to thank you, the listener, for joining us today. We've been getting lots and lots of new listeners. Thanks everyone that entered for our raffle, and Andrew and Chuck will be sending out your hats this week, so hopefully you enjoy them, and send me a picture of you and your new hat, and we'll post it on Instagram, or you can show off your swag. So again thank you. I wish everyone, as always, wishing everyone many happy returns. See you next week.